Uh-huh. Yep.
It's going to be one of those nights, isn't it?
Yep.
Cool. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna. That was it. That's all of the energy I have.
That's about it.
I just shot my wad. Yeah.
What? So, thanks for listening. Eat the fucking cake.
No, we have to go longer.
We have drinks.
We have expectations.
We haven't even dug into the drinks.
Okay, what are we drinking?
We are drinking, again, Gosling's ginger beer, but with Fireball whiskey this time.
Yes. It's way less sacrilegious.
And I think if I have to come up with a name with this, I'm probably going to call it a...
Moscow Explosion?
I was thinking Jerry... what's her face from the Spice Girls? Because she was Ginger Spice.
Yeah.
Jerry Halliwell?
Halliwell. That was the last name I was desperately searching for.
Just the Halliwell?
Yeah, the Halliwell.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Cool.
Drink a Spice right. Girl.
The dreams of my youth.
All right.
I like it.
That's pretty tasty.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Okay, thanks for listening.
I'm really smart.
Eat the fucking cake.
No, Salsa, we have to talk more.
Oh, come on, buddy.
Okay.
You can do it. I have faith in you. I mean, I don't, but I'm going to pretend for a while.
I don't know how much talking I'm going to be doing because my voice is
gone. That's okay. James can talk enough for the three of us.
There is that. You brought me in for a reason. We don't know what it is yet, but you did.
Yet to see any reason.
Yeah,
all right.
but yeah, I think it's fairly obvious to anyone listening that my throat's pretty shot right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, somebody else work.
I can work. I just came from a production meeting for the Klingon show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited. The production team thus far includes Jason Kruger is directing.
Excellent.
I'm doing the fight choreo. Megan Slauson is our stage manager. And Angela Fox is doing music.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, so we go to this meeting and Angela's like, I made a thing, but it wasn't asked for, but I wanted to do it, and so then I made it, and then she played it, and she was like, and I thought you might be able to do a thing with it, and I was like, yes. So now you're all going to have to come to the show to find out what that was about.
Since you announced this, I've been real fucking excited to see it, and it is actually going to be like Christmas.
Yeah.
To get to witness this thing.
Well, it is a whole new show.
Yeah.
Written by a whole bunch of really good writers.
Mm-hmm.
Written by directors. Oh, God.
Also that.
Oh, God. Some of them, yeah.
directed by committee. Fuck.
No. but we have auditions tomorrow night or tonight, depending on when you hear this.
Yeah.
Wednesday of this week's podcast.
The 25th.
Oh, good. I'm glad you guys know what I'm going to do.
I have a wristwatch. That is the only reason.
Of September.
Oh, that's a good
point. Yeah.
Of 2019.
Mm, yeah. You guys realize we're almost on episode 450?
Uh-huh.
We're real fucking close.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Anyway, distraction over. So, we do have two slots left for auditions. Yeah, I'm so excited about this. I can't even with the excitement. So yeah, that's what I was doing. And you could audition on Wednesday, September 25th, 2019.
Do it.
'Cause we got two spots left in our schedules.
Yeah.
And we might be willing to take a few, last minute walk-ins too.
Like Christopher Walken's?
I would love to fight choreograph Christopher Walken. That would be ridiculous, and I want to do this now. Yeah, so that's what I just got done with.
Nice.
I also worked a Ren Faire over the weekend.
The hell you say?
You know, for a change of pace.
Yeah.
I had lots of fun. The peasants took over one of the feasts.
Yes. Oh, my God.
It was so delightful. It was chaos. It was like 25, 30 peasants, something like that. And there was the hat game, and there was begging from adults, and there was throwing grapes at each other in an attempt to land in a mouth, but not necessarily in an attempt to land in a mouth.
Your throw was perfect for me.
Yeah, I'm real good at that, yeah. But not everybody was so careful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got skills, yo. I got grape skills.
Your throat was perfect for me.
Throw.
Oh. Honey.
Wow.
Throw.
I heard your throat was perfect for me.
You hear what you want.
I do.
And Salsa, your throat is perfect for me.
Yes. Whoa. Yes, it is.
It's all gravelly right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
For her pleasure.
Sure. You? Okay. Yeah, so Peasant Feast was fucking delightful.
This was my first Peasant Feast.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, I've begged food off of people before during Vill Feasts, but it's never been that fun. It was amazing fun.
At one point, I was talking with patrons during the mingle time, and one of them was like, "You must be the leader." And I'm like, "Well, I don't know that we have a leader, but why do you say that?" And he goes, "Because you're the cleanest."
I mean, there's that.
Because I'm not covered in filth. You think right. I'm the leader. And he was like, "Yep." I'm like, yep. I mean, I am a fishmonger, which means I spend a lot of time in water.
Mm-hmm.
So it might not be a cleanliness thing and more just a circumstantial thing. He's like, well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I'd never thought to cover myself in dirt or anything before.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm a fishmonger.
Yeah.
So, like, I pulled that justification out real quick. But, that salad was really good.
Whoa, yeah.
Oh.
It's the first time I've eaten, like, a coleslaw-style salad with utensils.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was. Yeah, lapping it off of the plate like that. Yeah. I chugged ketchup.
Really?
Yeah, in two different places. I learned my lesson the first time.
and did it again the second.
Right.
Okay.
That's what you do.
All right.
Wandered up to a family, and I was going to, you know, beg the parents for food, be like, "Oh, hey, you know, how are you going to..." But they were, like, they really were enjoying it, so I was like, I'm not going to fuck up their...
Yeah.
You know? So then I pointed to the ketchup, because it wasn't, like, a ketchup-suitable course. And
right.
I was like, "Are you going to eat that?"
Yes.
And they were like, "What?" I was like, "This. Are you gonna eat this?" And they were like, "No." So I was like, Can I have it?"
Oh, my God.
Fine. So then I took it, and I just, like, just, like, guzzled ketchup for a solid couple of seconds, and then made, like, a slightly dissatisfied face. And Tango, who was there, handed me a pepper shaker, and that was when, oh, right, yeah. A little bit of pepper in there. Yeah, it's better. It's better. The next time I walked up to a different family entirely and was like, "Hey, you want that?" They're like, "No." Okay. Picked it up, and then I don't know if they realized what was about to happen, but I, like, picked up the ketchup, and then I was like, "No." Grabbed the pepper shaker, shook that into my mouth first, and then chugged ketchup for, you know, like 30 seconds, but then made, again, like, rolled it around my mouth a little like it was a scotch tasting. And I was like, And the mom, who was mortified, like, picked up, as if it were a question, she like picked up the salt shaker and handed it to me. With a furrowed brow, she handed this to me, and I was like, and then like rolled that around for a little, yeah, oh, you're smart, and then walked away. And they just started laughing.
Wow.
It's tomato. Like, I don't... It's... Yeah. I get it. It's not appealing, but it is food. Somebody else handed me a thing of chicken, and she was like, I didn't touch it at all. And I was like, do you think it would have slowed us down if you had? Like, stabbed it with a fork, and then, like, 15 of it of us just attacked this thing. Yeah. Yeah. So, you were saying?
Yeah, I know, peasant feast. It was delightful. It was really fun to do the peasant feast, because I haven't done a peasant feast before as a peasant. I've, for the past 8 years, I've been a part of what used to be Sigonie.
Yeah.
So... I was never a peasant for peasant feast. I always just had to deal with the aftermath of shit all over the floor when my dancers are trying to dance.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, which we were way better about that. Mm-hmm. Because we were way better about that.
Yeah. Sometimes you are. Yeah.
But yeah. Which meant I got to see my old group, now under the name Baratok. Mm-hmm. Perform in the animal onesies, and that was just delightful for me to watch, like as an awkward like outsider but insider mm-hmm. or outsider insider, I don't know.
Pick a belly button and stick with it.
Okay, as a belly button.
Yeah.
And
God damn it.
I'm a little loopy. I've been hanging out with Angela Fox.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, we had giggles time.
She's good for a few giggles.
Yeah. So yeah. That was a fun and interesting experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I talked to one of the peasants, and they were like, "God, it just seemed to go by so slowly." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? It seemed to go by way faster than I expected it to."
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting to get that kind of perspective, but her theory was that she just didn't know how long, and so she was constantly like, "Okay, is this it? Or is this it? Like, how? I don't know."
Is there more?
Yeah, right. That kind of a thing. Yeah. So, but yeah. Whereas I thought it went exceptionally fast, I was a little surprised we were done as fast as we were. So. Mm-hmm. Pretty. One of the things that happened during the peasant feast, I was sitting on the floor, and the falconer came in with the owl.
Yes.
And was just kind of walking around showing it off. And he stopped kind of in front of the peasants, and the outline, like, basically right in front of me as I'm sitting on the floor. And this owl, like, opened up its wings and did a little flappy thing on the guy's arm. And I was just like, "Oh, you are so big and majestic and frightening."
I get that a lot.
No, you don't.
From whom?
Raiderly?
A lot.
Oh.
Mm. Okay.
Like a Denny's parking lot.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Hmm. So that was just a fun thing that happened during the feast. Did you have other feast-specific stuff? Because I've got, like, other things that happen. No?
I ate carrots out of Kyle's nose.
That was so great. Kyle shoved these baby carrots up his nose.
Yeah.
But then, like, they would start to slip a little bit. And he'd push them back into his nose, like tighten it in his nose with his tongue.
Uh-huh.
Like, pushing up on the bottom of the carrot to get the top part further into his nose. And it was the most disturbing thing I think I've ever seen. I didn't want to kill him for it.
No.
Which is usually my thing with Kyle, but I was just like,
Yeah, even I found it a little disgusting, which is how I knew it would get a good reaction if we both ate them.
Oh, God. It was so gross.
Note to self, blockheading carrots is my new thing.
Mm.
Wow. All right.
There you go. I think the baby carrots were a little short for it, but like actual carrot carrots.
Right.
Could do that. Service awards were also this
weekend. Yes, they were.
Somebody got one.
Quite a few people.
Well, yes, somebody in this room got one.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I got my 10-year.
Yay, you're tenured.
I am.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. My predecessor was my escort to the front.
Yeah, which I looked over and I went, nope. I recognize that height, that gait, and that helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So,
Sir Tedward made a surprise appearance.
Did he really?
And happened to bump into me while I was in line for the service awards, and I didn't have anybody walking up to the front with me.
I had no idea.
Do you want to walk up with me? And he was like, yeah, I'd love to. Awesome.
I didn't realize he was around.
I got up to the front and the king went, you took him out of mothballs for this? They're just letting anybody in now.
Nice. That is delightful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I also saw the most dregs thing that has ever dregs.
Oh, God. That was so delightful. So Tim Wick got his 35-year award?
Sounds
35,
right.
Yep. And he was escorted up by Molly. And he went to bow or do something with his hat as he was getting his awards. And a dollar bill fell out of his hat. And then the two of them dove for it. And it was such a delightful drag spectacle.
And I love that there was that moment where they both looked down at it and they were like, that's a dollar. Holy fuck, a dollar just fell out of Tim's hat. We better go for it. All right, down.
Yep.
Holy shit.
It was super good. Also, Gwen got her 35-year.
Yes.
And all of Baratok was there, and they played Baratok music as she walked up on kazoos and drums. And they had, like, a sign they made for her that said 35. It was super impressive.
It was delightful.
And Gwen was all, like, she always does the service awards as Mariska.
Mm.
Like, always. So, she's just being her delightful self. Oh. And I was like, proper. And so, oh, yes. And doing her silly little thing. And that was super fun.
Good friend of the booth, Rue.
Yep.
And fellow boothie, picked up his 30.
His 30, yep.
Yeah. And it was my honor to walk beside him for that.
God, they'll let anybody pick up a service award nowadays.
Seems like.
Mm.
I was busy doing a show.
Yeah. I was the keeper of the ribbon.
Mm.
So when people go to walk down, they walk halfway down the aisle.
Yeah.
And then the rest. And for the past few years, I've just been the person at the middle of the aisle with the ribbon to make sure people don't go too far and try to coax people to come up far enough.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. Yeah. You. Mm-hmm. So,
the ribbon was a real good idea.
Huh?
The ribbon was real.
Yeah. That was Eric Knight came up with that a while back.
Seems pedantic.
A few years back. Yeah, that's a him thing.
That's
a
speed. Yeah.
But yeah. Keeper of the ribbon. And then, like, the Morris came. The very last award was the Morris, the actual act.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Got 45.
Oh.
And I looked over and I saw them and I was like, shit. And I, like, just bend down to hold the ribbon down as much as possible because I knew they were all just going to dance right through it.
Right.
Nobody tripped. I was very proud of myself. Good.
That's wonderful. Yeah, Senpai was in line with them. Yeah, and I think that's... it's just so fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
I love the Morris dancers.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I'm coming up on my 20 year coming up here.
Ooh.
A couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. I'll be hitting 30 in a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my wife will be somewhere in there too.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any big excitement during the weekend other than awards?
I had a lot of interactions. I fought Graydon and lost. That was sad. Barely, though.
Yeah.
I am so excited for when I am back up to full health and can kick his ass properly. Because that was real close. I'm like, like, I saw my opening, but he saw his opening just a hair faster than I got to. Yeah.
That's how it goes.
But that was super intense, and I loved it, and I hated it, and I loved it, and I want to do it again. But I think my favorite interaction of the weekend was I went down to Queensgate Saturday morning to entertain as people were coming in, because nobody goes down there because there's mosquitoes. And for some reason, it just doesn't bother me as much down there. I don't know why. But I basically get the whole area to myself.
You'd rather deal with those pricks than us?
Yeah, usually. Yeah. God, especially you and Kyle. Oh, man. So the line got to be pretty long, and there was a family waiting for the rest of their party with the tickets, which happens. And so I engaged with this little girl a bit. Now, this line was, like, out to the ticket booth at Queens. And this little girl started arguing with me. She asked me, she's like, "So where are you from?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm from here." She's like, "The festival?" I'm like, "Yeah, I live in the village."
I mean, accurate.
And she's like, "No, you don't." I'm like, "No, I live in the village. I live in a shack in the village." She's like, "Nah, where are you from, really?" I'm like, from here. I'm from England." She's like, "You're not English." I'm like, "No, but I am English." This is, "Well, then you should be speaking in English." I'm like, I am speaking in English. If I wasn't speaking in English, you wouldn't be able to understand me." Mm-hmm. She's like, "Why do you sound funny?" I'm like, well, this is my accent. It's my English accent because I'm from England." She's like, "Nah, I think you're French." I'm just like, "No. I'm from England, and this is an English accent." "No, you're French." "No, if I was French, I would be talking in a French accent. But I am not talking in a French accent because I am not French. I am English. And this is, so I am talking to you in an English accent." And just like back and forth a few times. And then somebody said something like, "Oh," but somebody in the line was like, "Bonjour." I'm like, "Oh, est-ce que tu parles français?" So I'm speaking French to this person.
Yeah.
In an English accent.
Oh, God.
And I'm just like, I was like, "I don't actually speak French." I'm like, "All you need to know is may we. Just may we anything, and you're fine." Yeah, so this little girl and I had this argument back and forth for like 10 minutes. This line went from past the ticket booth down to just a few people before they got the rest of their party and were able to go in. And yeah. Like the entire time, like at one point, Kiri Stevens came down and she's like, what are you guys talking about? Like, she doesn't believe I'm English. And Kiri's like, "Of course you're English. You're speaking with an English accent." I'm like, "Oh, no." Like, she doesn't. And the little girl's like, "She doesn't live in the village." And Kiri's like, "Yes, she does. She lives in the village in a shack." Like, just boom. Just like that. Like, Kiri was my backup for this thing. And this little girl was not believing. Awesome. She was not having any of it.
No, yeah.
So she finally goes in. And I'm like, well, that was 10 minutes of pure entertainment. And then I went to Queens end of the day. I tried to, beginning of the day and end of the day, go to the same gate that I was at to see if I can catch people.
Mm-hmm.
So end of the day, I'm down there and this girl comes out and I'm like, "So do you believe I'm English yet?" And she's like, "No, Frenchie." I'm like, all right. You are bound and determined on this. I'm like, safe travels. I hope you had a good day. Just, so that was probably my favorite patron interaction for the weekend was just 10 minutes of arguing with this 7-year-old skeptic child. Just like
good skepticism.
Oh, though. God. Yeah. I mean, she's right. I'm not the right. type of English I'm claiming to be.
Yeah.
I'm not. I don't live in the village. I do live in a shack.
Well, there's that.
Kind of.
I mean, that part is legit.
Which made it delightful for Kiri to just jump on that. I'm like, but yeah. That was probably my favorite interaction.
It's good.
Yeah.
Does that mean we have to say curse the French whenever we say Jenna now?
Nope. I'm not French.
She's English.
I'm not French. I'm English. If I was French, I would be talking in a French accent, but I'm like not talking in a French accent.
Eric Thompson.
Like Eric Thompson.
Keep talking French.
Curse the French. I'm not French. I'm English. That's why I have an English accent.
So, I had a wild patron interaction, but go ahead, Salsa.
Oh, I was going to say, speaking of French Eric, I was outside front gate on Sunday morning.
Oh, my God. Yes, you guys.
And I was on the bridge, and Royal or Princess Court was still on the bridge, and so the bridge was very, very crowded. And Eric comes walking up, and he kind of looks around, and he sees that it's crowded, and he looks at me, and he goes, "You want to go clothes shopping?" And I was like, "You have my attention." And he's like, "Let's go." And so I was like, "I don't know what exactly we're doing, but I'm game." And so we start walking through the crowd, treating the people streaming in to front gate as our own personal fashion show.
Nice.
Yep.
And so as people are walking by and we're wandering through the crowds, we'll see somebody, and we'll be like, oh, I like this. This ensemble is really working for me. The pattern is really nice. I think I'm more of an autumn, but I like what you're doing here. Could you give me a walk just to see how this moves? and just basically doing the... And it was more, energetic than I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had more energy than you do now.
Exactly. But just basically, everybody was our own personal, and we would tell people, don't mind us, we're just shopping. It's so much easier when the clothes come to you. but we would talk about, a piece of clothing or something. And after the first, Eric started with the couple and I was like, oh, okay, now I get the game. And then we would, whenever we'd see anybody in a Vikings jersey with a number on it, we would say, oh, number 22, you look fantastic for 22. Do you get a new shirt every year as it increments? Or how exactly does that work? But then I started to try buying the shirts off of people. So it'd be like, oh, I really like this shirt. Yes, no, I think this could work for me. How much for the shirt, sir? and the looks you would get trying to buy someone's shirt off of them.
Sure.
Was priceless. And people would be like, it's not for sale. And be like, why are you in this fashion show then if you're not selling your shirts, sir? You're kind of a tease, aren't you? but we had some people who were like, they would name a price. And no matter what price they would name, we would laugh at them and just say, we work at a Renaissance festival. You think we can afford that? There was the one guy who goes... get me another shirt and $5 and this one's yours.
That's amazing.
And I was like, I've got some shirts my 4-year-old son doesn't fit in anymore. Will one of those work?
I mean, that's pretty good.
But there was this one woman dressed in belly dancer garb that Eric engaged with and was like, this is really nice. I don't know if I could pull this off though. And she's like, I think you could. And he goes, you have my attention. and they go back and forth a little bit. And he finally goes, okay, you've convinced me. How much for this outfit? And she goes, $1,000. And we laugh uproariously because... And Eric goes, I work at a Renaissance festival. And she goes, okay, 1,000 pennies.
done. Okay. Like, all right. And then I think she did the math in her head and went, no, wait.
I would have come back with, but it has to be all pennies.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So that was a good time.
Nice.
Nice.
And it had the dual purpose of making people feel good about their clothes.
Yeah.
I like when you, because they came by me when they were doing this, and I asked about, like, well, what about goats or chickens?
Oh, yes.
And what was it that you said?
So we did try buying somebody's shirt using chickens.
Sure.
And we were like, two chickens. And they were like, yeah, you know, no. And I was like, all right, two chickens and I'll throw in a dozen eggs. And Pietro, Eric Thompson, he turns to me and he goes, don't the eggs come from the chickens? And I went, shh, shh, quiet, ruining it.
That's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, that was really fun to watch you guys doing that.
Oh.
Because we tend to do all of our interactions in different areas, so I never get to see, like, you guys doing it. I very purposefully go to spots where there are people, where there are patrons but not people, where there's patrons but not performers. That sounds way nicer than what I just said.
Yeah.
So, you know, I try to go to those spots without other performers.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a spot where somebody's not being entertained.
Well, then you don't want to step on anybody else's stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was nice to be able to see you guys doing that shtick.
Mm. That is really pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Super fast. And then maybe we take a break. Kyle and I had our, like, once a year completely madcap scramble adventure with a patron. Somebody paid us $60 to follow him for an hour because his parents had paid $20 for Kyle alone to give him 20 minutes of joke torture as revenge for him putting them in the stocks the previous year. And
oh my god, this story has layers.
Right. Kyle was like, all right, we're gonna do this. Sometime later, you need to find me when I'm standing with my comedy partner, because then we really fucking do it. So this, I had just matched back up with Kyle for the afternoon, and this guy came up, and Kyle was like, this guy. This guy right here. And that guy paid us $60 to follow him, and not joke torture him, but to go and tell jokes to anyone he pointed to.
Oh.
So he paid for, and like, I don't, this kid must have been like young and spry because he was difficult to keep up with. But he was like, come on, we're going, we're moving. And I'm tup, 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 and we're chasing after him. And he would point to people and we would start, you know, telling jokes, and he'd be like, no punchline on this one. We're moving. Uh-huh. Chasing after him. We're getting toward the end of the first hour. We got, 12 minutes left, whatever. Drew Zestera.
Zestera. Zestera.
Zestera. Zestera. Calls out to us from a balcony to let me know that Anna Levine and Justin Link have something for me. This guy is like, Derek. This guy Derek is like, do you know him? I was like, yeah. And he was like, well, get that guy down here. So Drew came downstairs out of the balcony and was like, what's going on? And we were forced to tell him a couple of jokes. And then based on Drew's reaction to our jokes, the guy was like, all right, you're coming with us. I'm paying you too. So he gave Drew $40 and gave us another $60 for a second hour to follow him around and tell jokes with Drew heckling us. And, like, At some point, he's like, oh, man, I got to get to this event. Oh, but I still have a bunch of time left. I still have, like, 18 or 20 minutes left. Because he would check in periodically. And Kyle and I are just like, oh, yeah, yeah, you got 18 minutes left, yeah. Fuck. Oh, man. And he's like, all right, well, I got to get into this event. Can you take me to where I need to go for this thing? And then I don't know what. How am I going to get the rest of my time? And we're like, meet up with us after the event. So he did, but it was the smoker, and he's blasted out of his young mind because it's his birthday.
Oh, we my God.
Out. My fucking Lord.
The thing is, he was definitely drunk and a little over-friendly because of it, but kind of genuinely an okay person.
Okay. No, I get it.
Like, he made a couple of mistakes, and we pretty quickly called him on it, and he was like, oh, right, oh, sorry, okay. I don't know. I don't know what he's like outside of the place. Right. So, but we marched with him between where we reunited behind Bad Manor up to the front gate where we parted ways, and Cannon went off. We were like, yeah, you have us until Cannon. That's the agreement. And just like, I've never felt so physically and mentally exhausted in my life. 2 hours of jokes with as few repeats as we could manage.
Wow.
And afterward, like, Drew was like, what the fuck was that? We're like,
that was $60. That's what that was.
That's $60 a piece. Like, that's, you know. Yeah. That's how you do it. And he was like, is that street stuff? And we're like, I guess. And he goes, and you just roll with that shit? Yeah. Of course you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that's the big one. That's
oh, welcome to street, Drew.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That is pretty impressive.
It was super fun, though.
I mean, it's no 7-year-old skeptic, but...
No. No. On that, should we take a break?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Should we do the thing?
If you insist. Ladies and gentlemen,
we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Salsa. She had one more wad. She had one more wad.
You know?
Gross. Did that happen while you were smoking? Or?
I had a date like that once.
Whoa. Oh.
Cool. What's our topic?
I walked into work with my favorite umbrella, which has a sling that goes on my back, and my umbrella has a plastic handle on it that looks like the hilt of the Master Sword.
Oh.
So,
the
it's meant to
sword
look...
Sword from Zelda, right?
Yeah. It's meant to look
for those
like
that don't know what the fuck the Master Sword is.
Have an umbrella that looks like a prop sword.
I'm shocked that James would have a Zelda sword.
I know, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And this is, I want to say, like the fifth or sixth time I've brought it into work. But we were all sitting, you know, doing work, chatting. And
like you do.
As one does, and security showed up at the deployment office.
Ooh.
And
as an aside, yeah. Deployment office sounds like you're in the military.
Oh, no, we deploy laptops.
Oh.
To not the military.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or so you have to say legally.
So, yeah. Security showed up and they were like fucking ready. Like, I could tell based on the way that they were interacting that there was something wrong. So I you know, like, stood up and everything okay? Oh, did you bring something with you today? Oh. An umbrella? And, like, instantly he just kind of relaxes. The head of security is like, oh. And, like, I gesture down to the umbrella hanging at the side of my desk. He goes, yeah. I was like, do you want to see it? Should I bring it over to you? Yeah. brought it over to him and, like, held it out for him in the sling. And he, like, takes a look at it and he's like, yeah, that's an umbrella. I'm sorry, it was just, like, on the footage, we couldn't tell if it was an umbrella.
Or a toy sword.
I don't know what they were expecting, but they were apparently expecting a sword.
See, and what's sad is that if it was a gun, you'd be fine.
I wouldn't. Yeah. They ban those on the premises. Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, they do not say no weapons on the premises.
No?
So, like, at one point, I was like, I wonder if it's okay to have this. And then I was like, I mean, it should be fine. It's pretty clearly an umbrella. And we don't have a sign that says no...
No umbrellas?
Prop toy weapons. It just says no guns. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And...
Wait, are Nerf guns okay?
I don't know. It does say no guns.
Yeah.
Technically, Nerf guns, the name Nerf gun is not the product. It is a Nerf blaster.
Oh.
Yeah. The public knows them as Nerf guns, but it's Hasbro, I think, sells them as blasters.
I see.
Yeah.
What about these guns?
I mean, those aren't really guns.
Pew, pew. Salsa.
Yes.
Pew, pew.
Okay, never mind. I take it back.
More like Pepe Le Pew Pew.
Oh, God, no.
No.
Harassment, no. Skunk? No.
Assault? No.
Yeah.
I just meant based on the smell. Yeah. The security... The head of security stopped by the office to... check in on me. Well, because I guess somebody saw it and was like, dude with a weapon.
Right.
Dude with a weapon coming into a workplace. And, like, at first I was shocked and, like, it was funny, but then the more I thought about it, I was like, good.
Kind of. I don't know. I mean, I guess better safe than sorry. We've definitely become a culture of fear and reaction to fear. And that's not... I mean, there are some good things that can come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's heightened us to such an anxiety state overall.
Yeah.
That it's real hard to... I don't know. I guess, like, I'm trying to figure out my feelings on this because, like, it
seems really complicated.
Sad. It's sad.
It is.
It is sad. If nothing else, it is sad that we are in a state that it's like umbrella. You know what
I mean? The thing is, like, I've walked into tons of other jobs with that umbrella, but it made somebody afraid.
Right.
And
I mean, if you have questions, if there's anything that seems off, call security. Like, that's mm-hmm. yes, please. But like, I don't know. I guess I get it, but I'm not thrilled about it.
Oh, I'm definitely not thrilled about it. And I'm not thrilled about people having like a first blush impression of me that I would, you know, bring a sword into work and be a danger to myself and others.
Well, and they might not even think that you would be a danger to others, but maybe just having a sword at work. I mean, I know you well enough to know you probably wouldn't bring a sword to a workplace.
No. The Renaissance Festival is a workplace.
It is. And I have, in fact, brought a sword to a workplace.
I've brought my swords to my workplace before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, like,
a locked case, but...
Sure.
Yeah. You mean, like, actual workplace?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? All right. Mm-hmm. I've had weapons in the trunk of my car when I've gone to work.
Mm-hmm.
And again, swords. They're not mm-hmm. doing anything out there.
Yeah. No. But I also get it. Like, I'm almost kind of happy that we are recognizing that white dudes with weapons are a danger in the workplace.
Yeah.
And that, like, our idea of who is scary might be changing.
Yeah. See, when I bring a weapon, when I bring a sword into a workplace, that's just hot and sexy because I'm a chick. Boom. Yep.
I'm conflicted when you say that because I do find that attractive. But I also appreciate the sarcasm that you're offering.
Sarcasm or just bite.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a bite on society and how society views.
Yeah.
Hot chicks with weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. Okay, so I had that fight with Graydon, right? Mm-hmm. And Graydon and I are we walked the maze. We walk through the line. Meredith asked us, and mm-hmm. Meredith's in charge, and you do what she says.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we were like, you want us to walk the maze? She's like, yes, please. So we did. And we entertained maze while we were there.
Mm-hmm.
But we were hyping up this fight. You know, I stole your hat fair and square, and I'm going to keep it. You know, you're not going to get it back. Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one guy in the maze line. I maybe around 18-ish, possibly younger. It was kind of hard to tell. But it was like, oh, I think he's going to win because, you know, you're a chick. Was essentially what that boiled down to. And I was like, you realize I have at least 10 years of experience on him.
Right.
Like, just straight up, like, nah. And he's like, well, yeah, but, girl, you can't. Yeah, something. Like, he was just real fucking weird about this. And it was, and Graydon was like, I mean, now I really kind of want you to win. like, just because, yeah. And I was like, yeah, this is my world, buddy. Mm. Like, this is what I keep doing this and taking up space in these places because fucking this shit still happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to be able to, you know, just by being present and doing these things, try to make that be a thing that's known and acceptable. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, so yeah, I was just like, welcome to my world.
That was a lot like the experience that Bryn reported back from Adventures in Cardboard, where the young men were constantly surprised that she, a woman, was participating in combat games.
Yep.
Until she was just wiping the walls with them. And then they started to have the proper attitude of fear and respect.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, so it's hard because, like, if you're going to be a woman doing combat things, you almost have to be way better.
Hmm.
Because if you're just passable, then it just kind of, like, it's easy to downplay that.
Yeah.
And it's easy for people to be like, yeah, girls aren't as good at this, blah, 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 blah. And that's a thing that happens in the tech industry.
Yeah.
And, I mean, pretty much any male-dominated industry or something that we think of with more of a masculine tendency.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you fucking have to be on top of your game. And I'm tired, man. Like, but there's also kind of touching back to the whole chicks with swords thing, that comment that I made.
Mm-hmm.
With my tongue so far into my cheek, I think I bit it. But is that when you get a woman in a male-dominated industry, there's, mm-hmm. like, a few different kinds of reactions that you might get. There is the known, oh, well, she's not going to be as good because she's a chick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? There's the people that, I don't know, act like fucking human beings. That's great.
Hmm.
Treat you like a person. And that's, it's more prevalent than it was. So that's cool.
Another 50 or 100 years, we'll be right there.
Mm. Well, I mean, if the planet survives. So anyway.
Silver lining.
But then the third type of person that you get is the one that idolizes you.
Hmm.
And it's like, oh, man, it's a chick and a dude thing. Which feeds into that whole, like, hot chick with a sword thing, mm-hmm. right? And it's real interesting for, like, when you're doing combat or tech or something to run into one of those people that I... Because they just want to talk to you. You're just so fucking fascinating to them. You're like a... kind of tokenized a little bit, like, yeah, we've got a chick in the, and God, is she fantastic, because you have to be. And it's like, pressure, can't I just be a human being doing these things, you know?
Yeah, not a zoo exhibit.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And I mean, I'd kind of rather have the idolizing than the you can't do this because you're a chick thing. But only slightly more. Because then I don't have to physically get anybody out of my way. Like, you know. Mm. So, yeah. But if I was a chick with a Nerf gun, then that's just fun.
Yeah.
We used to have Nerf gun fights at IB. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys had experiences.
Oh, yeah. No, I told the story of the day where my boss pulled half of the people into one conference room, and my boss's boss pulled the other half into another conference room, and as soon as the doors closed, distributed the guns.
Yes.
And everybody loaded up on ammunition, and my boss's boss, who's... team I was on, looked at us all and said, when these doors open, all hell breaks loose. And we opened the conference room door and we went to battle.
That's fucking awesome.
And it was, yes, a great time. Our whole area was just a war zone for about 5 minutes.
Hmm.
And it was very good.
Nice.
I liked when the server admins would occasionally just, like, lob a Nerf dart over into our area.
Well,
and then we would start... It would just escalate immediately.
Yeah. Well, so Doc had the big boy,
mm-hmm.
which was this Nerf missile as big as a fucking baby's leg. It was just this, yep, huge thing. But I had the Whistler.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I had the darts that would whistle. And it was the best thing, because I sat in the back, and four desks in front of me was Ben. And every so often when things were getting, when I was bored, I would take out that Whistler and I would just fire it forward. And as soon as Ben would hear that whistle, he'd hit the floor because it was coming for the back of his head. And then he would turn around and unload his semi-automatic darts at me.
My favorite was... go ahead.
I used to keep a six shooter in my drawer.
Yeah.
Just, I didn't really participate in the all-out war stuff. Because I was working, because I had to be better than everybody else, because I'm a chick.
Right.
I kept a six shooter in my desk drawer for safety reasons, mostly.
Yeah.
One of the days, the entire, like, all the guys in the dev team decided they were going to just pick on me. Started shooting at me, like, but at annoying intervals. So it wasn't, like, all at once. It was, like, pew. Right?
Just as you're starting to relax and get, like, back into work?
I'm at the desk, and I'm still going, and, like, I shift to the side and then keep going. And then I, like, duck down a little bit and then keep going. And then I, like, I'm typing with this hand, and I pull out the six shooter. And I just take it, and I aim it like this without looking, and I fire it. And I hit somebody in the forehead. And I was like, you got me in the forehead. And I'm like, good. And then I put it back.
Nice.
And, like, obviously I didn't even, like, I was just like, I'm just going to shoot a dart in that direction. The fact that it actually hit him was just good.
Yeah.
Good.
I had a small crossbow that Salsa had given me. Which
it was my welcome gift.
Was my first
to IB
nerf weapon, and then
like, you're going to need this.
Yep.
Yes.
And then after that, I acquired a few more.
Right.
One of which was a gift from my friend Tom, who gave me the Centurion, which is a gigantic nerf sniper rifle.
Mm.
Bolt action, clip fed.
Nice.
Mega darts, so they're the size of my thumb. And so when we would be getting into the thick of it, and all of these little Nerf darts were, you know, flying through the air, I would open up the coat closet attached to my desk and grab it by the sling and haul it out. This thing that is almost as tall as I am.
What is it with you and weapons that have slings?
One is an umbrella. The second one is a Nerf sniper rifle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have more that I should know about?
I do. I have, like, actual guns, but they belong in a locked cupboard.
I meant with slings. Or, are they guns with slings?
No, mostly hammocks.
Okay.
My cot has a sling.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, my real guns belong in a lock cupboard or at the range. And that's fucking it.
Right.
Those are the places that those go. At some point, I think I'm going to go deer hunting. And when I do, I mean, that will be guns out in the wild.
Right.
In use for food purposes. So, there's that.
Yeah,
I would be far happier if I were bow hunting.
Like hunting bows.
Yes, I do it around Christmas time. They're a lot more plentiful, usually in their natural habitat, on top of presents.
Do you trace the migration patterns of the Christmas bow?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they mostly arrive for Christmas from China.
Oh, sure.
And they stay for a very short period of time. And then after spawning season is done, they go into a landfill.
Hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not quite as delicious after they've been in the landfill, though. No. So I try to catch them while they're fresh.
Now that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a salmon run.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, you got this this beast with the sling.
Yeah, well, because the Tom who gave it to me was like, it's fine, but it's not really accurate. It's just not as fun for me.
Okay.
I've gotten pretty good with this Nerf gun during these Nerf battles that he and his brother Tim do for their conjoined birthday. Are they conjoined?
Okay.
But their birthday is.
Okay. I wanted to check on that.
Yeah.
You used the word twin and conjoined in the same sentence. Yeah. So.
At least I think they have the same birthday. They're not twins. Maybe I'm mistaken. But in any case, I know that they, at least one of their birthdays is celebrated with a Nerf Day battle, a birthday Nerf Day.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so Tom was like, yeah, no, I don't really dig it, and it's fine. If you'd like it, it's yours as a thank you gift for, you know, driving all the way out here and having fun with us today. I was like, huh, awesome. So I'll take this thing out of... there were cupboards that were like shoulder height to me, and this gun just barely fits at an angle in that cupboard because it is almost as tall as I am.
Okay.
And I would have taken it out of there and then just like, it's got this long throw bolt that's just...
Oh my God.
And like, at first people were like, what the fuck is... Oh shit! because again, the darts are bigger than my thumbs.
Right.
They're gigantic, and they whistle too, but only after a distance. Like, they have to slow down enough to whistle.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, and they, like, whunk when they hit. So, it was just like, rack, bonk, as it hits something.
Nice.
And I love it. it is a deeply satisfying Nerf gun to fire. Blaster, excuse me.
And yes. Yeah. Please, be accurate.
Yeah. So, it got to the point where, like, we'd all be like, pink, 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 little darts flying everywhere, and then the cupboard would open, and people are still, pink, 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 and then, and people are like, all right, back to work. Good. it's done. Yeah. It's over. All right.
I mean, have you heard the story about my wedding with Bill?
Yes. But you should definitely tell it on the podcast.
I probably have in the past. But
those episodes are gone now.
Yeah, they've disappeared. Mm-hmm. Story the first. Mm-hmm. When Bill and I went to, we decided to get our marriage license, mm-hmm. and the our groomsmen's gifts on the same day.
Yeah.
So we got the marriage license. Also updated tabs at the same time. It was just very adult.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same building. So we updated tabs. I got new plates. It was very exciting.
Ooh.
We got the marriage license.
Aww, wedding china.
I checked a box that said that, yes, one of us is a guy and one of us is a girl. That's how long ago we got married.
Jesus.
Yep.
When dinosaurs roamed the earth.
It's not that long ago.
I
know. But, so then we did all of that. We did all of that adult stuff. And then we went across the way to Target. And our gifts for various people, groomsmen, Jessa, our officiant, whatever, were Nerf guns. So we went to Target and we just loaded up a shopping cart with guns.
Yes.
For various peoples. Different types for different people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this it's just a cart full of guns.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill is pushing the cart and we turn the corner to go down the next aisle. And there is a little boy, like about maybe 5-6 years old. He sees this cart and his jaw just drops. Bill doesn't miss a step. As he's walking by, he's like, yep, that's right. When you're an adult, you can buy all the guns, Nerf guns you want. Just like, and keeps going.
Wow.
So, yeah, we messed with that kid a little bit. but, yeah, then after our wedding, we passed out the guns.
Mm-hmm.
And our wedding reception became chaos. I'm fairly confident there was a Nerf dart flying overhead as we were signing the marriage certificate.
That's phenomenal.
That's what it was. So, yeah. So, fake weapons and Nerf guns.
Yeah.
But I'm a good talk.
Like I said, I feel like I don't begrudge that person for calling security just to be sure. Mm-hmm. I don't begrudge security for coming to check. And I've been not bringing that umbrella into work. Not because I think that it's fair to make me not use my favorite umbrella, but because I don't think it's fair to interrupt other people's work days.
Right.
By potentially making them have to make that choice.
Yeah. It's still meh, but
or worry for their own safety.
Right.
Like that's
frankly
just...
I'm more worried about Nerf blasters than I am your sword umbrella.
Sure.
But, you know.
Even so.
Are we good?
I mean, I think so.
Yeah. Salsa?
Salsa?
I'm good with it. Should we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
Do that thing.
Give me a break.
Okay, give me a break.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
And we're back. I'm Salsa. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
What I meant to say is I'm real fucking tired.
I'm so tired. Yeah. Oh my god, I'm tired.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what'll wake us up, I think, a little bit?
10 hours of sleep?
That
and a day off?
Ooh. Fast five!
For those that do not know, this is how a Fast Five works. You send us two emails, Mav.
Fucking, I just know that he's beaming with pride whenever you
every
call
time.
Him out.
Every time.
Oh, I know.
Fuck.
Why do you think I do it?
Yeah.
You, the dear listener, sends us two emails. I'm sorry, I completely just lost focus. Send us two emails. The first one contains nothing but five choices.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what that means. We just have to make our choices.
Mm-hmm.
It is only after that that we open up the second email and find out what it all means.
Who is right?
Today's
and who
comes
is
from
dead.
Troy Lenz. Troy says, greetings, Apropostors.
Hey, that's me.
Hey, buddy.
I hope you enjoy these binary choices.
Ooh.
Which were inspired by my travels to the great state of Alaska.
Ooh.
Is that a hint of
foreign?
Is that a hint of context you hear? Maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Fuck.
Oh, you son of a...
Question number one.
Mm-hmm.
Moron or putz?
I feel like Putz has a sillier connotation.
I think moron is more malicious.
Wacky. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like moron is more of just a, like, attacking somebody's intelligence, whereas putz is more of a
clowning
character poke.
Yeah, you're kind of saying, like, moron is like, that person doesn't have the essentials there.
Right.
Where putz is like, that person has the essentials, but maybe they have to rack those balls before they can play pool.
I don't know if it even connotates having the essentials.
No, like, I think there's like an aggression. Moron.
I feel like moron is a thing you is more of a mental capacity thing.
Yeah.
I feel like putz is more of a character thing. Like, and I don't know that necessarily means that it's something you can get over or not.
Right.
Right. That's the sticking point, like, I had with yours.
You may not be stupid, but maybe you make stupid choices, or you're just kind of a jerk.
Right.
I feel like putz is like more clumsy.
Like Rue. Rue's not a dumb guy, but Rue does some dumb shit.
I mean, I feel like he does that mostly for comedy.
Right. I think so does a putz most of the time.
I'm not sure that I agree with that.
Okay.
I feel, for my personal definition, a putz is somebody that is just ungraceful and uncoordinated in handling situations.
Okay. Isn't there a city in Alaska called Moron?
I don't know.
You're a city in Alaska.
Oh.
No?
Yeah, no, I'm a city in Alaska called Putz. but there's also, like, putzing, like, you know, so-and-so is just, you know, out there putzing around.
Putzing around. Yeah. Well, but putzing is...
It's just kind of, like, aimless.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what a putz is. Like, somebody who's just sort of...
Aimless.
Aimless and...
Idle.
Not necessarily idle. But
If I said somebody was a putz, I would either be saying that they're unfocused or that they're focused on the wrong thing. Fair.
Yeah. I'm going putz.
Yeah, I'll go putz. Also, because miniature golf is amazing.
I'm gonna go moron because it was just really fun to call you a city in Alaska.
Fair enough. Question number two: ice shack curling or fishing pole fencing?
Fishing pole fencing.
Oh, fuck. Oh, these are both really good. Yeah, I would play either of these.
I would absolutely do either of those. I think I would do the curling, though. I think I'm more the curling one.
I think so, too.
I want to do the fishing pole fencing so I can be a hot chick with a weapon.
So the security can stop by and ask you if you brought a fishing pole to work?
Yes.
Yeah. I think I would go curling because I would be really afraid of breaking a fishing pole.
I wouldn't.
Fuck.
I'll break five.
I'm never going to use a fishing pole for its intended purpose.
Oh, I would.
I hate fishing.
I don't.
I've done it. It's too relaxing, and I don't understand.
That seems right.
Yeah. But what am I doing?
When am I going to catch a fish? When they bite the hook. Right. But when is that?
It's not even that so much. Like, I understand the whole, I don't get to control that aspect. That's fine. But then I'm not doing anything else.
Right.
Yeah.
The only time I've ever enjoyed fishing, with a bow and harpoon.
Ooh.
What?
Because then I was actively fishing.
Fuck, that sounds much fun.
It's so much better.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting for the fish, it's like, oh, there's a fish there. Is it going to bite my thing? Fuck if I know. It's like, oh, look, there's a fish there. I'ma get it.
Nerf crossbow fencing.
Fishing pole.
I'm still going with curling because I've also never done curling.
Curling is a good time.
I feel like I would enjoy it.
Question number three. Posing nude for a sculpture or snowmobiling?
Posing nude for a sculpture.
Which would you rather do in the snow?
Nude for a sculpture.
I think nude for a sculpture, personally.
I'm not... Snowmobiling has little to no appeal for me. If I'm posing nude for a sculpture, and I have done modeling shoots in next to nothing in the snow before, there's an end product.
Yeah.
There's a reason for it.
I mean, there's an end product if I go snowmobiling, too. It's all of my organs up for donation. I'm not saying no.
Plus, there's ego.
But I feel like...
What?
I know, right?
I feel like I would really enjoy snowmobiling.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be my thing.
For the same reason that I really liked riding on motorcycles.
Yeah, see, I don't think that would be my thing either.
I've done it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I haven't gotten to do either of these things.
I mean, I feel like I should ride on a motorcycle or a snowmobile at least once.
I feel like I should do both of these things.
All right. Cool. Question 4. Bait shop.
Okay.
And by shop, that's spelled S-H-O-P-P-E.
Ooh.
Shoppy?
Bait. Ye oldie baity
bait
shoppy.
Bait shop. Or ristorante. R-I-S-T-O-R-A-N-T-E. Bait shop or ristorante. Which of these hurts your soul more?
I find bait shop-y more palatable. They've got a bunch of those up in Grand Marais.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of fucking fine with it.
So you're going ristorante?
No.
No, you're going bait shop-y?
It
really depends on the context.
I'm going ristorante because I have no reason to go into a bait shop.
I was about to say a very similar thing. Yeah. There is I will stuff my own face.
Right, yeah.
Oh, I will change my answer because I think I would eat ristorante style corn chips, but probably not bait shop corn chips.
Why corn chips?
Tortilla, like corn... Tortilla sure. chips.
What? But why in a bait shoppy?
Well, because those are the options. Ristorante or bait shoppy.
Okay, sure.
So I think I...
Like, why corn chips in
ristorante
bait
style
was...
Tortilla chips, I think would be far more palatable than bait shop style.
So we're all ristorante?
Chips. I think so.
I think so.
Okay.
Question number 5. Ice fishing...
Okay.
Or catfish fishing. I would like to try noodling.
I don't even know. Like, I know what I know, what I think noodling is, but I don't think it's the same thing.
So noodling is you stick your fingers in holes in the mud... And
I mean,
a
that's close.
Bites down on your fingers.
Okay, that's where it's different.
And then you pull out the catfish.
Jenna. That laughter is appropriate.
That is basically
for the subject.
What noodling is you basically get the catfish to bite your hand and then you pull out the fish. And as weird and as messed up as that sounds, it's something I would want to give a try. Just once.
I'll bet it's pretty thrilling
to see.
You know what?
Because I like experiencing things.
I'm going to go with ice fishing. It has nothing to do with the fishing aspect for either thing.
And I mean, that's what everybody has said, is ice fishing. The whole point of ice fishing is fuck the fish.
No, what?
I thought that was how you got the catfish.
No, the reason why I would go ice fishing... is so that I could basically do, like, ice fishing glamping, where I could, like, just have the swankest ice hut on the lake.
Sure.
Get, like, one of those little heater fireplace things going in the corner. Mm-hmm. Like, the ones that are, like, it's basically an electric heater, but it looks like a fireplace.
Sure.
And then get, like, you know, some posh seating in there. And
oh, yeah.
No, that is exactly what...
Yeah,
my wife was a teacher in Bemidji for a year, and basically what ice fishing was is on Sunday, everybody would go out to their ice shack. They'd put a line in the water and ignore it and watch the football game.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, it was their man cave with a little trap door in the floor. Like that was the point of ice fishing.
I mean, that honestly doesn't sound terrible.
I mean, it does kind of sound terrible.
I mean, I would want to be up there with friends or family.
I would rather do that. If I had to drink beer and watch a football game, I would do it in a cabin instead of...
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a much better idea.
Because then your football game isn't ruined by a fish actually fucking being inconsiderate and biting the hook.
God damn it. I hate it when I'm good at ice fishing. I hate it when I'm successful. So
it was ice fishing or...
Catfish fishing.
I think I want to go ice fishing and just play cards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, cribbage.
Yeah. I can't play cards while both my hands are jammed in muddy holes.
Cool. All right. Second email.
All right.
Hello again, Apropostors.
Ooh.
Hey.
The reason these were inspired by my trip to Alaska is because I watched both Grumpy Old Men and Grumpier Old Men while there.
Nice.
So I figured I'd ask you about them. On to the context. Moron or Putz? Who was your favorite comedic actor? Walter Matthau or Jack Lemmon?
Mm.
Oh, shit.
Jack Lemmon.
Mmm.
I gotta go Matthau on this one.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm gonna go with Matthau because he told a fart joke in a bathtub in the outtakes.
You would.
Mm-hmm.
I have no other response to that. Sure.
Just, his Odd Couple character was just brilliant for me.
Huh?
Ice Shack curling or fishing pole fencing? Which should be added to the Winter Olympic Games? Hmm. Ice shack curling, using a truck to push the ice shacks across the ice towards the target.
Ooh.
Or fencing, but with fishing poles.
Fencing, but with fishing poles.
See, I think as in general,
mm-hmm.
I think ice shack curling sounds more fun, but in the Olympics,
right,
where it's more athlete-centric as opposed to, you know, there's no NASCAR in the Olympics.
Aww.
You know what I mean? Like it's not a motor sport. Whereas I feel like ice shack curling using a truck is more of a motory sporty thing.
Yeah.
So I think with the Olympics, I would go the fencing with fishing poles.
Now, if it was some kind of a, like, bicycle thing where you're towing it and then letting go of it and having it go into a target area or something like that, that would be one thing.
Mm. Yeah, but because he specifies using a truck,
yeah,
I think it's not an Olympic sport.
If it's not a hand truck, it's not an Olympic sport.
Yeah. Oh, you mean a dolly?
Yeah.
I loved asking the guys where my dolly was. Who took my dolly?
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
Hmm. Question number three.
Mm-hmm. It was pink.
Posing nude for a sculpture or snowmobiling?
Mm-hmm.
Which would you rather... pose nude for Anne Margaret to make a sculpture of you?
Ooh.
Or spend the day snowmobiling with her? And I've got to say, both answers are wins.
Yeah.
Because you're with Anne Margaret.
I'm just going to go with yes, but sculpture.
But the thing is with a sculpture...
Then I have a thing that
you have a thing, but if mm-hmm. you are snowmobiling, assuming you're on the same snowmobile, you're in contact with each other the whole time. And there is that.
Yeah, but with like 50 layers on.
But still.
One of my favorite things having a moped was having a passenger.
I believe this.
So, I think snowmobiling.
I think part of it depends on whether you're on the same snowmobile or not.
Agreed.
I accept this variable.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to go sculpture.
Fair enough.
I have a thing.
I don't think I could relax enough nude around Anne Margaret. I would be constantly with a boner. Because goddamn.
Question. I mean, I might get a little ice puddle, but...
Question number four.
It's so uncomfortable.
Make sure to get the icicles.
Oh.
bait shoppy,
right,
or ristorante.
Mm.
Which would you rather, run a bait shop or ristorante with Sophia Loren? Again, you're with Sophia Loren, so win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ristorante.
I think ristorante.
I'm in agreement there.
Question number 5. Ice fishing or catfish fishing? Which would you rather do in the lakes of Minnesota? Ice fish or catfish fish? I mean, again, I wouldn't want to do either, but I would like to try noodling. I'd like to give it a try.
With Sophia Loren.
Ice fishing has... and Margaret. But, yeah. Neither one of them hold any appeal to me.
Ice fishing.
Yeah, same answer.
Fair enough.
Play cards.
Clamping. Ice clamping.
Mm-hmm.
I could get little snow globy lights.
Ooh.
Yeah.
By the way, the first email said part one, and this one says part 1-0.
Nice.
So,
because it's
a
binary choice.
Yeah. He does say, I apologize for not putting part 0-1 in the subject of the first email. It would have made the binary joke work better. But whatever.
We're fine.
I was actually going to make a comment about, you know, not everything has to be on a binary.
Love and cashews, Troy to
Troy. Troy to Troy, 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 Troy to Troy.
If you would like to send in a fast five, to send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first email should contain nothing but the choices, and the second email should repeat those choices and then give us context.
Mm-hmm.
Who has a shout out?
I do. My shout out goes to my boyfriend, Joe. We have been a couple for a year now. And
Only been a year?
We kind of sort of started dating, with quotation marks around that, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Still.
But yeah, the actual relationship is a year.
That's pretty cute.
As of a few days ago. And yeah, I mean, he's very good to me and stuff. And yeah. Okay. Yep. Honey, we made it. I don't kill him on road trips.
Aww.
And yeah.
You say the sweetest things.
There have been people I've been real close to killing on road trips. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My shout out goes to Eric Thompson for arranging the peasant feast.
Yes.
Which was wild fun.
Yeah, it was.
So, thank you. But also curse the French.
Bark, bark, bark. What? Bark, 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 bark. Oh. Salsa, you got some?
I'm going to give my shout out to the wonderful sport of hurling. Yes.
All right.
I got exactly the reaction from James that I wanted.
On Thursday, a friend of ours, Jeff, came over to my house, and we watched the All-Ireland final, which happened like a month ago. But we just didn't get around to watching it until this week. And damn, what a game. Oh, such a great game. I can't believe I hadn't watched this sport until now, because it is a really... It's so fast-paced, and it moves so quickly. Like, they do the parade onto the field with the band and stuff, and then they just fucking start, and the band is still, like... trying
get off the field,
and they just go. And this is Ireland, so in the first 12 minutes of the game, it went from sunny to fucking downpour to sunny in the first 12 minutes
nice.
Of Rad. The game. And then the same thing happened in the second half. It just suddenly started raining for like 3 minutes, and then it was fucking sunny again. But it's such an exciting sport. Honestly, like, legitimately, if you haven't watched a hurling game, watch it, because it just starts, and then it's fucking action until the end. It's not like so many other sports that have like these weird lulls and downtime and waiting for something to happen.
It doesn't have innings.
It's not golf.
It's not American football that has 8 seconds of activity followed by 45 seconds of talking about what just happened. Like, it's just fucking go. And it's there. Nice. The field is huge. The pitch for a hurling match is 2 soccer fields.
That's
and soccer
good.
Fields are already bigger than football fields.
Yeah.
Like, this is huge. And it needs to be.
They're, because when they hit they're actually that exactly ball, the same size in Europe.
Because when they hit that ball.
Oh, my God. James.
Yes, no. I get this joke. It's because when they fucking hit this ball, it fucking flies.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it's such a fast-paced game. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. Give it a... Check it out.
Yeah. Okay. Give it a hurl.
Don't. All right. Who's got something to plug?
This Friday, Vilification Tennis, we are not only doing a show about reproductive rights, starring mostly men, by ironic coincidence, but we are donating a huge amount of money and doing matching donations, if memory serves, for the Red River Women's Clinic.
Nice.
And although it is a women's clinic, it's for anyone who has a uterus.
Yeah.
So it is, if I understand correctly, the one reproductive health clinic in South Dakota. And is a frequent site of picketing and harassment.
Of attacks, yeah.
Yep. So we are giving money to them because we believe that whatever your stances are on things, that people should be healthy and happy, and that includes reproductive health and good family planning. Or not family planning.
Yeah. Auditions tomorrow for Klingon.
Yeah.
2 spots left. Go sign up now.
Do it.
Then show up. Yeah.
We are getting close to the end of September, so I'm going to mention the weekend of October 12th and 13th. Casimir is going to be in Baraboo, Wisconsin for a gathering of rogues and ruffians. Doing 3 shows a day.
Keen.
That is a fun little festival. Mm-hmm. If you are in the Wisconsin area and would like to do something, and like Renaissance festivals, but don't like the huge monstrosity that is the Minnesota festival, come check this one out.
It's a good time. Where is Baraboo?
It's in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Where in Wisconsin?
In Baraboo.
Okay.
Do you know where the Wisconsin Dells is?
Yes.
It's
10 minutes south of
that. Oh, okay.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Not going to make it.
No.
I'll be on the North Shore that weekend.
Nice. I'll be, I believe, in California.
Yeah. Very, very cool. All right.
None of us are going to be in the cities.
Nope.
Whoa.
So that would be the time to rob the AON lab.
I'm pretty sure Raider Lee's on it.
Anything else?
That's what I got.
All right. In that case, thank you so very much for listening. On behalf of... thank you to Troy for the Fast 5.
Thank you.
We do need more of those, so get them sent in.
Please and thank you.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, thank you so very, very much for listening. Eat the fucking cake.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha 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 cha.
Verbal. Purple Jazz Fingers.
Purple Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.